this time. Okay, call to order the House Education meeting for February 12th, 2018. Okay, we've got not a real big schedule, but we want to make sure we get everything that we need to today. So I will first of all call to order. We'll have a public hearing on House Bill 4119. And Alethea, if you want to introduce the measure, and then we'll have Representative Bonham come up.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 4119 requires education providers allow providers access to personnel records of a school employee if requested to do so because the employment is being considered. School employee is defined along with education provider, and personnel record is defined as any materials relating to a current or former employee that are maintained under ORS 652.750 and relate to the termination or disciplinary action of an employee or investigation into conduct of criminal offense. It also prevents education providers from disclosing anything otherwise prohibited by law. This is the first hearing and no subsequent referrals. It may have a revenue or fiscal impact statement, but none have been issued.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bonham.
Chair Doherty, Vice Chair Hernandez and Wilson, distinguished members of the committee. My name is Daniel Bonham. I represent the citizens of House District 59, which encompass Central Oregon and the Columbia River Gorge communities of the Confederate tribes of Warm Springs, Culver, Fossil, Madras, Maupin, Metolius, Mitchell, Mosier, Sister Spray, the Dalles, as well as unincorporated areas of Wasco, Jefferson, Deschutes, Marion, Clackamas, and Wheeler counties.
You could turn that into a rap song.
Yeah.
Right. 6,000 miles on the car in the last couple months.
Yes.
Wow.
Before we begin today, I do need to thank some people. Without them, this moment to be here would not be possible. Chairwoman Doherty, the time of the committee is valuable during the short session, so thank you for this opportunity. Vice Chair Hernandez, you've been a champion, and I appreciate all your support. And Representative Springer, I appreciate you signing on to the bill as a co-chair. It meant a lot to me. I'd also like to thank the school districts and Oregon Education Association. From day one, you've been open to dialogue, and we might not yet agree on a solution, but you've shown respect, and I appreciate that too. An estimated 1 in 10 K through 12 students will experience sexual abuse at the hands of a school employee at some point in their education. In Oregon, just running the math, you know, that's 57,000 students. The sadness and rage that we all feel just hearing those words, you know, cannot be described. Make no mistake, Oregon's educators are the best people that I know, from Mrs. Conklin to Mrs. Balin, Mrs. Stoneberg, Mrs. Denton, Mrs. Schneiderman, back to Mrs. Stoneberg again in fifth grade, to Mrs. Hampton and Tarbell. That's just my elementary school teachers. I could easily name every teacher from kindergarten to graduating from Linfield College and heap praise upon them all. I've just had a wonderful experience with my teachers. That said, we cannot turn a blind eye to evil, and our schools have such people teaching our children, and it's hard to know whether it's a horrifying trend or a vile anomaly because of the inconsistency in the information that we have available to us. Either way, it is an alarming reality. Predators often get hired at our schools, even after crimes of conduct or conduct get them dismissed from their previous post, which means too many adults are shirking their professional and moral responsibilities. Whether it's the well-publicized case of Mitch Whitehurst, 13 years of sexual misconduct in the Portland School District, or the story that just came out last week about Mark Gillette, Tigard High School, you know, the list continues. I have more examples that I'll forego. But it's tragic, it's real, and it cannot be ignored. In 2007, Nate, Interim House Education Committee and Interim Senate and Education General Government Committee held a series of public hearings on the issue of teacher sexual misconduct towards students. As a result, the Oregon Legislature unanimously passed then State Representative Sarah Gelzer's House Bill 2062A in 2009. The bill made an effort to address the problem, but left open loopholes for abuse to continue, and that is why we are here today and why we continue to hear these stories. House Bill 4119 prevents the practices of educators slipping away from a job after allegations of sexual misconduct arise. Current Oregon law allows for education providers to sweep allegations of misconduct under the rug. As a result, teachers can flee troubled paths for a new start in a new school district. Closing this loophole prevents some school districts from hiring teachers under investigation for alleged misconduct. Teachers accused of misconduct with a student are not always unemployable. Oftentimes, these teachers resign, retire, or are terminated and allowed to move quietly to another school district without his or her new employer being alerted to the allegations of misconduct. House Bill 4119 seeks to address this problem by accomplishing the following. Incoming schools and districts will have access to a teacher's personnel file when considering employment of the teacher, and it prohibits all forms of a contract that has the effect of suppressing personnel records. We must act responsibly. We cannot create a policy that increases the liability on school districts that do the right thing and provide information. We also cannot ruin careers over hearsay. But to say that the problem doesn't exist is irresponsible as well. So the goal is simple. We got to prevent predators from gaining access to our children's in schools. And with that, I thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of Representative Bonham? Representative, wasn't it?
Madam Chair, are we going to hear from OSBA or OEA? Or?
No, I don't think. Are we going to hear from OSBA or COSA? And the reason is that Representative Bonham and I have talked about some of the issues and the legality and to make sure that this is a bill that follows the law and so on and so forth. So we will probably have a work group on this. And then come back in 2019 to deal with this. And I think, if it's okay if I say, part of it is this 25 years of working with teachers, very, very few on these allegations. But also, on the flip side, there were also a lot of things that were in personnel files that nobody knew were there,
right.
Even the teacher themselves. And so what we want to do is make sure that we have a good process, a process that is fair to all parties, a process that makes sure that there is accountability, most definitely. You know, we are the number one people that want to make sure that the accountability is there for our employees. And so so that's where I made the suggestion that we have the work group to make sure it is a clean bill coming in and that there's going to be no adjudication of it down the road.
Thank you. Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very supportive of this. Glad to see the representative bring it forward. I think it's very important. The reason I was going to ask OSBA and the work group can look into this of OEA and OSBA mm-hmm. is during my career, early in my career, we had a legislation talking about pass the trash. Mm-hmm. And so my question would be, we've addressed this issue, and my question would be, what have we done, or how, you know, how successful, or what policies did we, you know, enact to prevent passing the trash?
We did not approach them for that, so I don't know if they are available to.
No,
to
we don't
speak
have to do it today
okay,
during the work
but
group.
We will be doing it during this work group.
Yes, ma'am.
Most definitely.
No,
most
thank
definitely.
You.
Representative Fernandez and yes, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Chair Daugherty, and I think. To speak to Representative Wisnant's comments, I think that's why it's important for us to move forward with the work group to look at what has happened in the past, what is the current systems. I appreciate the Oregon Education Association saying that they're willing to come to the table. I know that a lot of the times the assumption is made that this is teacher's fault or teacher's issue, and I think the issue is much more complex and has to do with past legislation, has to do with school district policy and administrators. So I think it's a very complex issue that we have to bring all these different stakeholders together to figure it out, and I'm happy to, I've already said to the Representative Bonham that I would be happy to assist in helping either convene or be part of the work group in coming to a solution to this problem.
Absolutely.
And I would say, Chair Daugherty and Vice Chair Hernandez, one of the challenges of being a new legislator is learning the process and starting from zero. And I remember one of the first phone calls I got was from HRO's office. Mike Carew said, okay, Rep. Bonham, come up with two pieces of legislation. And I remember thinking, yeah, what does that look like? And I don't want to belabor this testimony, but I will tell you, you know, this, what ultimately is before you is House Bill 4119 is probably the fourth iteration I went through in what I thought was going to be a way to solve the problem. And in the short time that I had, you know, trying to get meetings with all the stakeholders was a challenge. And just to raise awareness and not even knowing who they were, you know, just for me to get through that process. So I am not in love with the language of this bill. You know, it's not perfect by any means, but I at least it's a starting point to have a conversation, and I'm excited to have that.
The concept is the important part. Right. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think this issue started in 2011, maybe even 2009, I'm thinking, and I was part of that initial work group. And we knew, we got to a consensus bill, but we knew at that time when we walked out of the room, there was still work to be done. And that's what you're bringing us, is the result of that, because there's those instances where teachers called in to the administrator's office, we have some concerns, I think I'm going to resign, and then at that point, now you've got some sealed records, and there's no way for future districts to know that. So I would be more than willing to help serve on that work group if that's what you do, to continue that work, because we knew then that the gap wasn't closed, we just couldn't take the whole hill.
Well, Chair Doherty and Rep. Springer, I would like to say, too, I think as we're talking about the school districts and who's involved with our kids, it should be expanded to consider classified employees, mm-hmm, administrators. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be everybody that has daily access to our kids. So,
okay. Representative McLean.
Well, the other item, I'm glad to hear that it's going to go to a work group, because I think the goal is clear and concise. And I was wondering, though, if there had been checks on the different types of rules that you were affecting with your bill. You know, TSPC does things one way, different districts do things other ways. And then something now that Representative from Ben brought up was a bill I don't know about, or an effort I don't know about don't pass the trash. And I don't know if that's a state law or what that is, but it's one of those things. Again, I don't know if there's been any effort to really look at the integration of these issues and how they affect law. So I think it's a good idea to really work on that.
Chair Doherty, Rep. McLean, I will tell you that pass the trash was the terrible moniker of that 2009 bill. Like, it was just what it was called.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
House Bill 2062.
Thank you.
Just follow up?
Just very briefly. The media came up with pass the trash.
Right.
Not the legislature. Yeah. The Oregonian called it pass
the
trash.
It was a national moniker.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we talk for a moment on what the work group would look like and when we might expect that to convene?
You know, to be honest with you, I have not sat down and talked to Representative Bonham about it, but I think you have a good handle as to what the stakeholders would be, and it would be the administrators, it would be the OEA, it would be legislators, it would be probably the classified OSAA also, just because it's a whole community and family that we would deal with. And what I would also like to see on that is also somebody that has the legal background to this. And so that's what I'm, at least off the cuff, that's what I'm thinking of.
Thank you. And if I might follow up, but can he have your assistance in forming that work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think the reason is that, you know, you guys know I worked with teachers for 25 years, and before that I was a teacher for 10. And there are very, very few instances of what we're talking about. 99.9% of educators love what they're doing. They want to work with the kids. They want everything. They want success for their children, and so on and so forth. And they do not like the educators that don't come by and show how great our profession is. So that's why you've got the support of the OEA and others, because it is not very many. But there are some things that, I mean, I've taught for 10 years. I have no idea what was on it. I didn't even know I had a personnel file. I had to start looking at that and see if I got a personnel file. So anyway, but those are the sort of things that we want to look at to make sure that it's legislation that is fair to the employees, fair to the school districts, and first of all, fair to the kids,
right,
and so on. Okay. Anything else? Representative Fernandez.
Thank you, Chair. And like I mentioned, I would be happy to be a part of this work group. I'm happy to put my name out there as a co-chair or convener of the work group as well.
Thank you very much. We will do. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you all.
Anybody else want to speak on 4119? Okay, with that, I close a public hearing on House Bill 4119, and open up a work session on House Bill 4036. If you want to remind us what this is, what 4036 is.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, the last hearing date was Monday, February 5th. House Bill 4036 allows school districts to allow homeschool students and public charter school students to participate in interscholastic activities, regardless of the affiliation with any voluntary associations. It goes into effect July 1st, 2018. There is a -3 amendment which replaces the contents of the measure. It defines interscholastic activities as for students in any grade from kindergarten through grade 12, and specifies the activities from kindergarten through grade 8 are offered before or after school and are not required to involve interaction among other schools. It clarifies the current interpretation and practice that fees are required on an annual basis, and clarifies the current interpretation and practice that a public charter school pay a fee once per year per student, regardless of the number of activities, if the school district or school requires payment. And it prevents the school district from prioritizing residents of a district, but requires students satisfy any standards for participation. There is no revenue impact, and a fiscal impact statement has been issued as minimal and takes effect upon passage.
Thank you, Representative. Before we, why don't we get the motion on for the adoption, and then we'll have discussion.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -3 amendment.
Okay, Representative Hernandez moves to adopt the -3 amendments. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I brought these amendments. I think.
You were involved.
So what we went back and did is there was concern, and it wasn't the intent of the bill, there was concern that the original bill would include high school. High school was dealt with in, I think, Senate Bill 208 last time, and has gone through rulemaking. So this -3 makes it very clear that we're talking about K-8. In addition, I used, every time I spoke with LC or anybody else on this bill, I used the analogy is, because to me the goal was extremely clear. We want Ben to be able to do choir by the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And you will see it, this does have an emergency clause on that. I don't know that it did originally. I said we need one because it wouldn't go into effect until July 1. So this follows that intent. It gets us there. This signed and passed, this would allow Ben to be in choir this year. It does not give homeschool charter school kids any other, doesn't afford them any other rights. If you've got to try out for the team or the whatever to make it, and you don't make it, you don't make it. It just puts them on an even playing field.
And would this be the same sort of even playing field with if you have too many kids for a program, so you almost have to go to a lottery kind of system, or?
Well, if there's a lottery, yeah. This does not give any preferential treatment. I've worked with COSA and OSBA. Mm. To my knowledge, there's nobody opposing this bill.
Yeah. So, okay, thank you very much. Any other discussion on the amendment?
I'm just on Representative, the amendment. Okay, I'll save it for the bill itself.
Thank you. Any other? Representative Parrish.
I appreciate the spirit in which this is brought. We had this conversation last year when we talked about the other charter school bill and with no disrespect to the students who brought it. I particularly believe that we're already charging, school districts are keeping an administrative fee already from charter schools, so I'm opposed to this measure just strictly based on the fact that we are asking those districts to come up with additional fees while charter schools are already not getting a full ADM funding. So
I don't believe that there are additional fees for this. If it's a before or after school program.
May I address
yes,
that?
Yes, please.
When we passed the bill, it was 208,
mm-hmm.
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yes.
When we passed 208, it set up the process for fees. Mm-hmm. I remember that very clearly. I did not like that very clearly. However, that is the law. This mm-hmm. does not change that. Mm-hmm. This is the same as that. So, yeah, it charges a fee. It's not a new fee.
If the school district so chooses, they don't have to if it's something that they...
And my objection, Madam Chair, to the previous legislation was because we're charging a fee, there's section, you know, required to pay a fee, we already keep 20% of their funds, that I'm just object to it for that reason.
So it's up to the district whether they want to. So, okay. Any other questions on the amendments?
Madam Chair, I just want to reiterate what Representative Parrish has talked about. You know, I believe there's plenty of payment made to satisfy any requirement here, any need. But anyway, won't get in the way of me supporting the
Okay, because I know that we discussed it with the K-8 situation. That was not one of the overriding issues. It was more to have the kids get involved. But again, I guess it is up to the district if they so choose. Okay, any other questions on or comments on the dash threes? Okay, if not, is there any objection? Okay, thank you very much. An objection noted.
Oh, wait, is there any way you can say it verbally just so Matt has it?
I object.
Okay. Otherwise, we don't know.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so with do I have to take a roll call or not?
No, because
okay. With that, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move HB 4036 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Hernandez moves House Bill 4036 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Solman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really was struggling with this bill, and really I want to say that my thoughts along this, I didn't put in the they pay their taxes, they pay their, you know, and the fees type thing. I looked at this as an elementary age mother when I was at Tobias. And the purpose when we had our clubs was to build a community within your school, to have a have opportunity for collaboration and team building when you're outside the classroom. And so that's why a lot of times why I looked forward to having my kids participate in a lot of these programs. I don't have the issue if it is a open, that there are many slots, that it's unlimited. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with welcoming students that live within the district of that school, within those boundaries, come to participate in there. Where I do have the problem is that if it's limited spots, then I do believe that the children at that school within that community should have preference over those that are not attending that school. And so that is where I struggle. I am just personally struggling with that, and so I feel like I would have to be a no on that.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Any other discussion?
I have one.
Yes, Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Doherty. I want to be very clear. I don't want to talk about this again. Last time we thought it was settled, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this bill is settled, and hopefully in the clear and unequivocal legislative intent, mm-hmm. any questions about what should or shouldn't be done are now done. Thank you.
Okay. Representative McLean.
Well, I'm going to vote yes on this. I, as a public school teacher, there were times where I had kids that were from homeschooling, and there were times that I had kids that were from more like a charter school. And it's a situation where I think it's important for us to allow all students to have participation rights. But I want to talk to Representative Solman about the issue that she brought up, because it's reasonable to say, you know, how do I, when I have too many people who want to participate, what do I do? And I think just like now, they're going to figure that out. They're going to try and be fair and equitable, and they're going to have a process that helps figure that out. Just like open enrollment, there's a situation where there's only so many seats in the classroom, mm-hmm. and so each of those districts figure out how they're going to handle and what their capacity is for more students in those schools. So it'll be how do they handle and how much capacity do they have in those sports or those, you know, activities or those clubs. So I think we're trying to be supportive of all kids in our community, and I believe this bill does talk about the fact that these are kids are within their school district address mm-hmm. boundary. So I think we pick it up there.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none. Matt, could you read the roll, please?
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Parrish?
No.
Representative Solman?
No.
Representative Springer?
Yes.
Representative Wisnitz?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hernandez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes, and I will ask Representative Mike McLean if he would like to carry this bill for us. Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill 10th. 36 or 4036 and open up a work session on House Bill 4051. That's right.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 4051 establishes a task force on rural education and appoints 14 members to the task force. It requires the task force assess the impact of current state policy and laws on rural schools. It requires a report be submitted to the legislature by September 15, 2018, and that it be repealed on December 31, 2018, declares emergency effective on passage. There is a dash 3 amendment, which requires one member on the task force be a teacher specializing in special education and related services, and another member be a teacher serving students in English language learner programs. Revenue impact has been issued as no revenue impact. Fiscal impact has been issued with a fiscal impact statement, and this bill has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means. The last hearing was Monday, February 5th.
Okay, so why don't we get this done and we'll have discuss, we'll get this part and we'll have discussion.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt dash 3 amendments.
Okay, Representative Hernandez moves to adopt the dash 3 amendments. Is there discussion? Representative Hernandez.
Representative Doherty, I did have a chance to have a conversation with Student Voice, and I know that they brought up the concern of not having a student.
And I have a comment for that.
Okay.
With the Student Voice, and the one thing that's always important is like we have task force on homeless, and we never have the homeless there, and task force on students. So I had hoped to have an amendment today to include the student member in this task force. However, we were not able to get the paperwork done in time, and then I also wanted to give other students the opportunity as just to have one student on that isn't appointed. So I do want to make sure for the record reflects my desire and this body's intent to include a consistent attendance from a student member to ensure student voice is represented throughout the duration of this task force. I've met with students about this, and I want to commit that I will make sure that one of the rural peers is represented on the task force in addition to the continual dialogue I hope this task force has with the rural students. Okay, Representative Parrish.
So can I just ask, I'm assuming then that the fiscal is still, you know, what's here was originally presented as being minimal fiscal, and yet this still has a subsequent Ways and Means referral.
Right, and the reason is that all task forces go to Ways and Means.
Even if they've been approved as being minimal fiscal or having
even,
no fiscal.
Even if there's no fiscal, all task forces go to Ways and Means. Okay. That's just the process that we use, so. Okay, Representative Hernandez.
Chair Doherty, I happen to be on that sub Ways and Means Committee, and I will see if the chair, the co-chairs are willing to entertain the will of this, that of the chair and the vice chair to see if they'll accept that amendment.
And as I say, my one concern was just to make sure that we opened it up to, if we meet in Ontario, that it would be an Ontario student. If we met at someplace else, it would be another one, to make sure more and more students would get involved. But with this is that even though the work of the task force can sometimes be absorbed by an agency, Ways and Means still needs to look at it to see what the impact on the agency will be, and that's why it goes to Ways and Means. Okay. You look confused. You have a question?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I'm just thinking. You could tell I was thinking?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How are we going to do this, making sure that without it being amendment that we're going to have a student in each of these locations?
Pardon?
How are we doing that? Are you going to try and put an amendment on the Senate side?
We could do that, but I think it's also the idea of going through and just whoever is on the committee representing the rural areas, that they make sure that they invite to the meetings students from their rural areas, because there might be a difference in some of the concerns in Southern Oregon versus Eastern Oregon versus, you know, Central Oregon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I am so fortunate to be appointed to this task force, trust me, I will make sure students in the area we're at know about this, and I'd prefer more than one show up.
Right, right. I just was curious. I thought it was a new pathway I didn't know about. So, but I thank you for telling me. I just remember that it's not going
to be. Well, that's why we don't have the amendment on the student. It was just the idea, and I wanted to put the intent on the record, is that students will be involved.
Yeah.
Students will be involved, because that student voice is so important.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, if we adopt the amendments. Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay, if not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move HB 4051 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Hernandez moves House Bill 4051 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that be referred to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Parrish.
Thanks. I'm going to support this. I think it's important. I kind of want to go back to the fiscal piece. We've seen several task forces in here prior to this over the years where they come and the agencies slap pretty big fiscals on them, and yet here we have one that's clearly going to take away people from their jobs. It's not being budgeted for. So I do have some concern about how these fiscals are being put together when other equally important pieces of legislation do not get a chance to move forward because there is a fiscal. To me, when you have asking people from ODE, community colleges, public universities, school districts, ESDs to all participate and to not compensate them, to say that there's a minimal fiscal, I just think that's concerning that some of these are coming out with fiscals that make them go to Ways and Means to die versus ones that are fast-tracked to move. So I do want to just get that on the record that that is a concern. And if the agencies are willing to volunteer and participate in a task force like this in the future, then love to have those discussions in 19.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, with that, Matt, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Parrish?
Yes.
Representative Solman?
Yes.
Representative Springer?
Yes.
Representative Wisman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hernandez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion carries, and the bill will be amended to the House Joint Ways and Means Committee. So it goes from here to Ways and Means, so there's no carrier. Okay, let me give that to you. With that, I close the work session on House Bill 4051 and open up a work session on House Bill 4102.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, as a reminder, the first hearing on 4102 was February 7, 2018. House Bill 4102 requires the Oregon Department of Education to conduct a study on students who drop out of public secondary schools in this state. It requires the study examine methods for tracking and collecting information on school dropouts, and it directs the Oregon Department of Education to submit a summary of the study to the Interim Education Committee by December 31st, 2018, and repeals the act on January 2nd, 2019. Revenue impact has been issued as no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal impact statement which has been issued. This bill has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Chair Doherty, I move HB 4102 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Representative Hernandez moves House Bill 4102 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that be referred to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Yes.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Solman?
Yes.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Representative Wisman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hernandez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes, and the bill is sent to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means. And so I close the work session on House Bill 2102. And we have two bills left, and both of them are waiting for amendments, and so they will be carried over. The work sessions will be carried over to Wednesday, February 14th, and that is House Bill 4044. And House Bill 4013 will be carried over to Wednesday, February 14th. Okay. Representative Whitman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clarification on House Bill 4119. We're gonna work session, change it to work group, and pass it out. Or just
on 41, which 13?
4119.
No, there's no work session posted.
No, there's no work session posted.
Okay, so you're not gonna create a bill to have the work group.
Mm-hmm. No. At this point in time, no.
No.
It's just a work session.
Right, he's a freshman, give him a bill.
Next question? Okay. Okay, with that, that's
Chair,
it.
Madam Chair, you said 21 instead of 41.
House Bill 4044 and House Bill 413 will be carried over until Wednesday.
Yeah, no, it's the one we passed on. It's 4102. You said 2102. I just don't know if it matters, so I just wanted to tell you that.
What she's talking about.
For carrying over?
No, the one that we passed, the last one that we passed.
Uh-huh. There's no carrier.
No, the number is 4102, and you said 2102.
Okay, 4102. Do I have to open it?
No.
Yeah, we're fine. Thank you very much for doing that.
Everyone understands it was 4102.
Okay, good. With that, I adjourn the meeting.